dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Wait, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, baby. Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader Reaction Monday. We are rocking and rolling. The Texans take another one on the chin. The Astros get their ass whooped, and the Rockets, unfortunately, if you hadn't heard, they take a hit, and the season hadn't even started. We'll catch up on exactly what that is as the show goes along here, and we'll catch up on the Astros. But right now, we have got to discuss this weekend for me, boys. I'm just real quick before I get to the most egregious thing that I saw Sunday. This weekend was a rough weekend for you, boy. Mm. Right? I mean, this week. Last week I thought I had a chance to be really, really big. We got Monday Night Football. Texans take one on the chin, right? Astros, they went and got the Rangers, swept them. Got the Mariners this weekend. They get swept for all the marbles. For the division, they get swept. Texans-Jags on Sunday. It's been a hell of a weekend, right? Texans-Jags on Sunday. They take one on the chin. Laney Wilson, Muscadine Bloodline. They were supposed to play Saturday night. Two of my favorites. They were supposed to play Saturday night at Cynthia Woods. Canceled the show. Laney had some voice issues.
Damn.
Canceled the show. And boys,
Were you going to that?
No, I was not. I was in Little Rock. Remember?
I was about to say.
Now, look. I got something I got to fess up to you boys. I went to Little Rock. I had some business stuff I had to take care of Friday evening. But I'd scheduled all that around a wedding that I had to get to. Saturday morning, I go to a little birthday party. Some people I hadn't seen in a while. One of them happens to be one of my buddies that's in the beer business.
A Saturday morning birthday party?
Because the Hogs, it was a watch party for the Hogs.
Okay,
Hogs played at 11.
Okay, I got you.
So I'm sitting there talking to him. He said, "Hey, man, what the heck you in town for?" I said, "We got a wedding tonight, man." He said, "Really? What wedding is that?" I said, "Hatcher wedding." He said, "That's next Saturday."
You got to go back?
No, I got to go this. I'll be gone this weekend for my Hall of Honor thing.
So are you just not gonna make it?
I can't make it.
Man, they were waiting on you too. Man, they needed you there.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the money, the plans, and weekend I spent in Little Rock for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I'd have figured out some way to get that back.
What?
I don't know how.
No, you can't get it back. you think them airlines care? Huh? Me and my wife just had us a nice little weekend. Wait, now I did get some really, I got some really, really good stuff handled on Friday and Friday morning, and Friday evening. But then Saturday went awry, man. It was. But me and my bride had us. She needed some time away from the baby. We needed a little adult time, so we had us a little adult time. So
you did.
I mean, boy, you put a cherry on top of that week. All of that stuff was going on, and it was all going to hell. It was going to be one of the best weeks in general last week in Houston sports, right? Regular season type stuff. Astros, Texans twice in one week. Laney Wilson, like I said, Muscadine Bloodline's one of my favorite too. All of it just came falling down, man. So
damn.
Nonetheless, the most egregious thing that I saw this weekend. Ron, it's unacceptable. Look, we saw on a weekend where we saw some really, really, really bad football. The Houston Texans offense has scored 3 touchdowns this year. The Houston Texans offense has been to the red zone 4 times. And by the way, they're 0-for-4 on those red zone trips.
Just let that settle in a little bit. Woo! Right there.
0-for-4 on those red zone trips. Every one of their 3 touchdowns have been longer than 20 yards, so they were not inside the red zone.
4 trips to the red zone all season.
3 games, 3 touchdowns, 3 games, 4 trips to the red zone. 0-3 the Texans sit right now. There's 1 in 18 teams this century have started 0-3 and made the playoffs. Now, the good news is that one team was the Texans back in, what was it, Tyler, 2018? Bad news is the other 117 didn't make the playoffs. And so that's where we sit right now. And there was a lot of egregious things. I'm going to be honest with you, Ron. The lack of sense of urgency, the lack of awareness, the lack of creativity, the The level of how vanilla this offense is, the lack of physicality, the organization handling the offensive line. For some reason, the offensive line needed to rotate the left guard position because Juice Scruggs 2 weeks ago wasn't good enough to play as a second string guy. You had to reshuffle your whole offensive line. 2 weeks later, you feel the need to rotate him through with your starting guard in a game, a division game on the road where noise is an issue and all the road things are issues. Like, from top to bottom, there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of unacceptable. There's a lot of egregious. There's a lot of, like, criminal offenses. There's a lot of fireable offenses. There is a lot of bad from the top down. And nobody gets a pass, Ron. Nobody gets a pass. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Cayley, all the consultants that you got over there that somehow survived the last firing, all the entire staff that somehow survived the last offensive coordinator,
it's you, Bill Lazor,
being relieved of his duties. Yeah, I mean it's. I would be embarrassed if I were in the room with this offensive unit, and we're rolling that product out there every day. I would be embarrassed to show my face.
I think they're 30th or worse in every major offensive category, including dead last with 12.7 points a game.
I would literally be embarrassed. The first thing I would do when I see anybody is like, hey, man, they won't let me have any input. I know I'm this position, coach, but I don't have any input, man.
You come out
saying it. I ain't got nothing, man. They put a muzzle on me. They've already told me to shut up 3 times. I'm going to lose my job if I don't shut up, so I shut up just to get a paycheck. Like, I would be embarrassed, right? I mean, it's that bad. Every position. The wide receiver coach, your wide receivers are running piss-poor routes. The effort sucks. The inability to separate, the attention to detail, the running the wrong route, running routes on top of each other, it all sucks. The only position right now that has an excuse is the tight ends, because you've had three of your top four. Is it three? No, two of your top three tight ends.
Irv Smith injured.
Irv Smith is three. You're right, it is three or four. I forgot all about it. My bad, Irv. Like, the tight end position is the only one that's like, you know, you get a little bit of a pass. Everybody else. Hey, man, it's pissy poor, and it ought to be embarrassing. But I'm going to tell you, Ron, the most egregious thing that I saw Sunday was how this organization, this coaching staff, exposed their starting left tackle, rookie Arionte Ursary, consistently throughout the game. But the egregious part is at the very end, after watching him get his ass kicked all game long. 5 pressures he allowed, 1.5 sacks he allowed. He had 3 penalties, a hold and a face mask penalty. And nobody that's responsible for putting players in position to have success, nobody on that sideline ever thought, hey, man, let's get that young fella some help. And the sad thing is your ass didn't even have to change anything. You were already lining up the tight end in his hip every time, and the tight end was avoiding the edge rusher instead of chipping him. There's no excuse. Tyler, give me this damn play right here. This is what the last play of the game. The Texans are in prime position, y'all. The Texans are in prime position. They're driving down, score, go for 2 to win the game, kick the extra point to tie the game, right? The Jaguars come out, and they don't do what everybody's been doing the first 2 games of loading up the line of scrimmage and confusing the offensive line and confusing the communication and try to get a sack. No, they go, for some reason, they go 4 down and drop the linebackers 10 yards deep into coverage. There was never room for any confusion. This is exactly what you want for C.J. Stroud to go tie the ball game up, if not win the ball game. This is exactly what you want. All you got to do is do what's the competent thing is help your left tackle. And nobody at any point in time, it should have been a huge part of this offensive playbook after Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter kicked your ass all camp long. It's right then and there, D'Amico should have said, hey, man, we got to have a chip package that's as nasty as anybody in the league. We got to figure this thing out. In fact, Ron, I think you and I talked about it. People got mad at me. I'd have chipped the hell out of Will Anderson and slowed his ass down.
During practice.
And during practice, right? So there's no excuse for it not to be in the playbook. It is criminal for you to sit there and watch 5 pressures, 1.5 sacks, and 3 penalties on a rookie left tackle and not adjust and have it done at some point in this game down to the last play when the game was lost.
On 3rd and short, Stroud calls for the ball. Here's the snap. CJ looking. CJ pumping and firing. The ball is tipped, and it's intercepted inside the 5. They're going to say drop. Oh, they're going to say he's got it. An official comes in late, and they're going to say it's picked. It was deflected along the way and picked off, and the Jags are going to stop the drive.
it was picked off and your ass deserved it. It ought to be embarrassing that an NFL coaching staff put that young player in that position. It ought to be embarrassing that the number one most important thing coming into this season was protecting your quarterback, C.J. Stroud. It should be embarrassing that you don't have the ability to, at the very least, give the one guy that's been wrecking the game the whole time a little bit of extra attention with the game on the line. Forget about the way you addressed the offensive line in the offseason. Forget about the way that the communication stinks, right? Forget about the way that you elevated an assistant offensive line coach that was in the room last year when things were awful, and that's your head. Forget about you hired a first-time play caller that's never managed men and been a play caller before. Forget all that. Forget all of that. You don't have the ability. Nobody has the ability to stand on the bench, to stand on the table at halftime in that locker room and say, hey, man, we got to help our left tackle, man. So not only did you lose a game, but you really showed how incompetent you are as an offensive staff, right? Not only that, you got your quarterback hit again that you can argue is a tad bit, what word am I looking for? A tad bit.
Skittish.
Skittish. Yeah, that's a great word. Skittish. Right now, because not only did you let him get the hell beat out of him last year, you beat the hell out of him in training camp, and you wonder why the install's behind, and you wonder why he's seeing the rush, and you wonder why he's not keeping his eyes down the field and making this read or that read. You wonder why he's, as Ron said, great term, skittish, right? It's because you don't have the common sense to help the young left tackle. So now you got your young left tackle that appears to be a guy, Ron, that, by the way, has the ability, the makeup. He's wired in a way that he could take over your offensive line room and be the tip of that spear, be the guy that has got that dog in him, be the guy that's accountable, be the guy that all he wants is football. All he cares about is the group executing and protecting his quarterback and running the football. You got a chance to have that guy in the room for the next 4 years, maybe even longer. And instead of helping him, instead of giving him confidence, instead of helping him play and not be the reason you lose, you leave him out to dry. Now he's got to go to the media and talk about, hey, man, I didn't play up to my standard.
That was, as you said, man, there was no excuse or no reason that they allowed that to play out like that. One, they should have come into the game, right? Like, I could look at His breakdown analysis coming into the league was he's a stronger run blocker than he is a pass blocker. That was what his analysis was coming into the NFL out of the draft. Why he was the seventh tackle selected. You're gonna put him over there at left tackle? Yep. Have you seen him struggle in pass protection yet this year? I have.
Yep.
Know about you? I have. So it should have been a thing coming in to the game. But, Clint, there was that run in the third quarter. They had a 4-5-play drive. I don't know if you remember it, but he was hanging on for dear life, and then he just drug somebody down with a face mask.
Yeah.
And he got hit with a 15-yard penalty on a face mask and still gave up the tackle. And then later on, Hines Allen just went right around him. I mean, it was like a combination bull rush and then just went around him for a sack to end the drive. At least even at that point, we got to say, all right, guys, can't leave him by himself. Cannot leave him by himself. We talked about it on Friday. Titus, you got to be able to handle Walker over there, and I think he did that for the most part. You can't let him. And they just, nah, man, let's run him out. Yeah. Like you said, they ain't getting no separation. Somebody could stay in to help him. They could have lined they'd have been all right lining up a tight end right there to just.
He was lined up.
Just help, but I mean.
He was there.
No, you're not running around. You're just going to help him right there. Just wild to
me. I'm going to tell you, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, it's time, man. It's time. You can't have the Texans offensive coordinator talking to the media last week and he cannot lead with everything we do. We start with protections. Everything offensively we do, we start with protecting the quarterback, and we start with protections, and then we work our way out. And then not execute the simplest of protections. Forget about technique and mechanics. I'm tired of hearing about it, man. I know you got to do it on a daily basis. It can't be the reason why you're screwing stuff up. It's not about technique and mechanics. It's about doing simple things. And you don't have the ability to do that. It's time, man. It's got to stop. D'Amico, here's what I need you to do, man. Here's what I need you to do. And look, it's you had all game to make the adjustment. It should have been part of the offense from the jump. 55 and 51 absolutely destroyed your training camp from the offensive perspective. It was blatantly obvious to anybody and everybody that watched a practice or more that you needed to have a heavy, violent chip package in this pass protection, right? It was obvious months ago, right? You can't wait any longer, man. The start of Wednesday's practice has to be running backs and tight ends chipping the hell out of whoever. Get your scout team guys out there. Get your practice squad guys out there and chip the hell out of them. And if they don't execute it violently enough, I don't want to see no 2025 training camp put their hands in. I want full go. Whoever's going to play is going to be the guy that can chip the best. Damian Pierce, you got a chance to get back on the field. If you can get your ass in there and chip, you got a chance. Dara, you want to play some more running back? If you can chip.
You want to see Dara
anybody,
out there chip.
It doesn't matter. That's how serious this is, right? If you can't execute it violently enough, then you're going to do like we've seen Damian Pierce do before. You're going to do like we've seen Jalen Petrie do before. Is your ass is going to come over there and stand by D'Amico on Sunday. There is no excuse for this to happen. This can't be process over results. This can't be technique and mechanic. This can't be the same old stick to what you're doing crap. It has to change.
Yep. Want to remind you, Joe Mixon, he'll be eligible to chip after next week.
He would be the guy that if you tell him to chip, that you'd probably want doing it.
Just for that. So there is help coming. He may be a chipper.
And there is a rewind feature on the Odyssey app. If D'Amico and Nick Caserio did not hear that, Nick Cayley did not hear that, feel free to send it to them and use that rewind feature on that Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it and keep us on your hip.
Maybe you'll talk about it coming up behind us on the coaches show. All right,
I don't know how you do a coaches show and not talk about it.
Yeah. Again, Joe Mixon eligible to be a chipper coming up after this week's game. Astros, they get swept in Seattle. I know it's a reaction Monday, usually for football, but we got to react to that. What in the hell happened? The biggest reason why this happened. We'll discuss that next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Coming up again, remember behind us, the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans. As I don't know, maybe he'll bring up some of the things Clint had to say at Dirty's Daily in the 4 o'clock hour.
Well, I think Cayley must have heard the throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage as many times as you can because he attempted it. I don't know that I loved all the designs that he used and the simplicity that it came with, but he damn sure attempted it.
He heard that and Nico more touches.
Yeah.
After week one, he heard, oh, man, Nico, we got to get Nico the ball. 9 targets. What is it going to be this week? What is the issue this week? If it was screens last week, Nico the previous, I wonder what it is this week and see if he'll try to do it.
Chipping.
All right, yeah, let's push this.
Let's push this
right now. It is Monday. Chip. Hey, you got to chip. This team's got to help their left tackle. They've got to chip. Got to help their left tackle. Let's see Sunday if we start seeing a lot of help. If that's the next thing they do to help. I tell you what. It'd be stupid if they start to find ways. I don't know who's going to be starting. If it's Lakin Tomlinson or Drew Scruggs or Ed. I know they better be double-teaming Jeffrey Simmons. Figure out that fool next to him. Is Sweat over there too? That's right.
Sweat's hurt.
Oh, is he hurt?
Okay. Only good thing we got. I don't think he's playing. But Simmons, you got to slide to Simmons. You got to give that tackle, that guard in that tackle, you got to give him the help.
Now they're going to give Ursary the help.
No, you help him with chips, but you got to help center guard. Whichever direction Simmons is, that center needs to work that direction.
I got to focus on that. Focus on the chips on the outside. Ursary. Who knows? Hell, they may move Titus inside. They're liable to do any of it. They're liable to do any of it. All right. I thought about you, Tyler. Astros got swept by the Mariners this weekend. I'll be honest with you, fellas. Maybe I shouldn't be, and maybe some of you aren't. I was absolutely floored by what happened this weekend in that series. Absolutely shocked. It was not close. Right? Like it was a 3-game series, and who knows when you get. But if you watch that 3-game series and you know, all right, this is with everything on the line. Six ball games left after this. Is everything on the line right here. You come in tied. It's at the Daikin. You got Hunter Brown. You got Framber. You got Jason Alexander. You got your best guys going. The experience and everything. And they went out there and just mollywopped. 17-7 was the score in the 3-game series. And to me, the biggest advantage and the most eye-popping thing from the series to me was the starting pitching. The Mariners starters went 17 innings, a combined 17 innings, allowed one earned run, 20 strikeouts at 2 walks. The Astros, 12 innings, 14 earned runs to 1, 7 walks. Just absolutely, I'm sorry. I said it, and you know, I'm sure if you want to put this on me, that's fine. I said it Friday when we were at Talliard's. I said to me, this is, if you put these two teams like this with the experience, with the big money, and not just big money, but you know, clutch players that the Astros have that have been here and been in this situation before. They got their best guys going in this, including their pitchers, that they would go ahead and handle this. I trust them more, and it couldn't have been furthest from the truth.
Well, it was absolutely soul snatching. It was crushing, Ron. It was one of those, like, I'll be honest with you, man. Every time I tried to watch and turn a game on, it was painful. It was out of hand. It was because I legitimately, and I don't think I'm alone here. I think this is probably the majority. I genuinely thought we had a shot to make a run. I thought we really had a shot to be competitive in a playoff run here. And boy, to get manhandled and to just get absolutely, dominated by the Mariners at this point in the season for 3 straight games when you're giving them your best shot, that was painful, man. Yeah. Tyler, did that change your – obviously you're not going to win the division, but did that change your, like, outlook on the season? For me, it just – it snatched the soul out of my Astro heart.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you went into the weekend knowing, like you just laid out, you were in control of your own destiny. We've seen this team do it time and time again for the better part of the last 10 years, and that just did not happen in the least bit. It felt very soul-snatching on this end, 100%.
In the first 2 games, right, Jeremy Pena is the only moment where you felt like you had something to cheer for.
Yeah.
In the first 2 games, the only moment. Shout out to Cole, who, you know, got a little loose. In the movie The Wood, that young dude, he showed more heart than the rest of them. I'm shocked. Guy Jean said, is it really surprising the Mariners are the superior team? No, I didn't think the Mariners were the superior team. The Astros have been leading this division for quite some time. I know they have been leaking oil in the second half, but if you tell me before walking into that game, like the guys that the Astros are going to bring to the table, the Mariners, I trust the guys the Astros are going to bring to
the table. But that's not even like, they're just the better team. Like I don't walk away.
Certainly look like it right
I
now.
I don't walk away from that of like, boy, I can't wait to get back on a diamond with them boys. Like we're gonna get y'all's ass. We'll get y'all again. It'll come back around. Like I walk out of there going, man. We're gonna be lucky to hold. I mean, I guess we're lucky right now that
they're tied right now with the Guardians. And
yeah, so I mean, we're gonna be lucky to get beyond the regular next six
Guardians. I think they've won 10 straight. They could find themselves.
I guess the good thing is you got the A's and the Angels, the next six.
Yeah, you got to take care of business. Like Tyler saying, man, just I don't know if he's saying it, but don't get swept. If you don't get swept, like I mean, hell, it's just one. If you don't get, good God, but you took this to a 3-game lead at just at home, 17-7. Just dominated in the series. It's wild and I know many of you are, it's probably time that Framber this thing is about over with Framber. After that may have been the last. Maybe he'll pitch one, maybe he'll probably get one more start, but I think people are this may be the last couple of times we see Framber Valdez, and it's time.
I would say that
both sides.
I would say that's probably
both sides. Yeah, just wow, crazy. All right, coming up, the biggest thing that I think people, at least emotion wise, that is drumming things up for Texans fans is the thought process of the head coach and his belief that we are close. He said that multiple times throughout the season and multiple times the last couple of days. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back into Reaction Monday, and we have reacted to a very difficult Houston sports weekend. I think Texas A&M, Texas Tech, if they're not all in the top 10 or close, I think Texas and Texas A&M are. Maybe Tech had a dominant win at Utah, and they lost their quarterback in that game.
Your top squad in the Great Lone Star State right now, them Texas Aggies.
There you go. I just wanted you to feel better. And I could see it in your eyes.
It's weird, man. It's the only hope I have in my entire sports fandom right now. I'm not sure what to do with it.
That's a lot of pressure you're putting on the Aggies, man.
I put them on it every year.
A big one against Auburn coming up this weekend. But
yes, sir.
Coming up behind.
Is that who they got this weekend?
Yeah.
This is the kind of game they got to get beyond.
Where is it?
This is the game they got. This is the game they got.
Kyle.
This is the one that gets them. This is the one that not this, but this is the type of opponent that gets them, right? Not an Arkansas. That's really a pretender, but like an up and coming kind of middle of the pack, kind of has a chance. Good coach, good offensive scheme.
Yeah, they're coming off in a highly emotional road game.
Yeah.
in Norman.
Where are they at? Y'all got them on the plains, or y'all got them up here in College Station?
In College Station.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's the one you should get. Get ready for that this weekend. Texans All Access and the Coaches Show coming up behind us. D'Amico Ryans, as soon as we get done, remember, we get done after this segment, and D'Amico and the Coaches Show will come up at 5 o'clock after us. Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football, and this is a real good one tonight. You can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 610, 7 p.m. Area 45 will return tomorrow. Lions at Ravens. This is two Super Bowl contenders, arguably maybe the game of the weekend. Lions at Ravens. We'll see. The last couple of times the Lions have played the Ravens, they have beat the hell out of the Lions. Just blown them smooth out. That's with Jared Goff. So we'll see. That'll be a good one coming up. Westwood One. You can listen to that right here on Sports Radio 610. T-Mill's best bets as we kick the week off. Hopefully will. Coming up and here in just a bit, Monday Night Football, aggressive best bets with T-Mill here in a couple of minutes. All right, D'Amico Ryans, he spoke to the media today, and maybe he'll expound upon this coming up after us, but he talked about where he was trying to get to when he's saying the Texans are close.
Yeah, what I mean by close, is we were close in our three games, right? We were there in the fourth quarter, right? We were close to finishing and closing those games out. There are plays in each game that we've had these first three games that we didn't finish and win the game. So I'm not talking about close as a team, talking about winning the football game. That's what we're here to do. We're here to win football games. We've been in position to win those games, and we have not won the game. So we got to find a way to win the game, right? We got to make the plays in the fourth quarter of the games we've been in. We got to make those plays to put us in position and to just ultimately to win the football game. That's what we're here to do, right? That's what we work tirelessly and hard for, is to win football games. So the games have been close. We've been right there in the games, right? So we just got to find a way to get it done.
You know what, Clint? A lot of times coaches, GMs, they tell the media and fans, you know, things they want to say. Some of it isn't legitimately what they're saying behind closed doors, especially to the team. But you get that in this business, right? And I'm all right with it if, you know, there's a bit more of a realistic conversation on where they really are. Do you think, Clint, this is the same message he's given to the team week in and week out, that they are really close? Because if that is the case, I don't know. I don't know. I agree with that.
Yes. I mean, look, there's no other, like, the same. D'Amico Ryans is a guy that went into that first game and thought, let's get four running backs touches. D'Amico Ryans is the guy that went into that first game and said, "Yeah, let's see if we can't keep Nico Collins completely out of the box score." You know what I mean? D'Amico Ryans is the guy that went into this game right here knowing that you have a protection problem that exists from last year. He went into this game right here with no adjustment to chip and help a rookie left tackle. He went into this game right here with a plan to rotate in at left guard a guy that hadn't even been able to cut the two deep 2 weeks ago. So do I think that
was wild.
Do I think that his message to the team is, hey, man, we're close, let's keep doing the same things? Do I think that his message is, hey, mechanics and technique, man, we got to get this thing right? Do I think that his message is, hey, just no penalties and no turnovers and we win games? I would bet on that being the message versus, boy, this offense stinks and we got to do things. We got to figure something out quick and in a hurry, or we're looking at a rough season.
Hey, man, it like, there ain't just a couple more plays that gets you close when you're averaging 12.7 points a game. I mean, there's not a here and there. Close is like here and there. There is nothing close.
Ron,
you're averaging 12.7. You've been in the red zone four times.
Ron, three touchdowns in three games. One was a double move where a defensive back bit. One was a run where the defense let you score. Right? And one was a fade. Zero scheme to it. Just man-to-man throw.
Yeah, a hell of a catch to get.
Those are your three touchdowns.
Low percentage, yeah.
You've been to the red zone four times and not score. You've been shut out 0-for-4. Like, don't, I mean, like, you, what you're doing is not working. What you're doing is not, like, I don't care. It should be, it doesn't matter what the score ended up. It right now, those three games, it doesn't matter what the score ended up. It doesn't matter how it happens. Let's be honest. You're not going to get an aggressive approach from very many offenses because they know your offense is going to score 12 points.
Yeah. It's good God Almighty.
So to your point, do I think that, yes, I think D'Amico is he, I think there is a keep everything positive. Let's not step on anybody's toes. Let's not quit on anybody. I think there is a commitment to process over results. We've heard that from Nick Caserio for years now. And now what is the offensive coordinator that Nick hired, that Nick had the experience with, that has all the experience in New England, what is he saying? We know our process is right. We are trusting our process. We feel great about our process. And then you go out there and your process doesn't consist of chipping in a critical moment when you've got a left tackle that's getting his ass kicked. Your process sucks. Like, there's, yeah. So, yeah, do I think, yeah, based on what we see on Sundays,
looks like based on
what
message.
Yes, based on what, like last year, Ron, every Sunday, and I'm talking about the offense, we heard got to execute. They went out there and did the same crap over and over again, and it looks like a staff that's going, hey, man, we're going to keep doing the same thing. Process, baby. We just got to execute instead of making the necessary adjustments. Instead of looking at, hey, what can we do better schematically to give ourselves a better chance to win games, to score points, to give our defense a little bit of help, at least keep them off the damn field and sustain a drive. Like there's nothing that we see on Sunday that leads me to believe that they're preaching anything different behind the closed doors.
All right, let's make you some money. And check this out. He always posted on there at T-Mill Real Deal. Let's get best bets, Tyler.
Yes, sir. The football team we got here in town ain't no good, but these two going tonight is. should be a fun one. Like, in all seriousness, it'll be nice to watch some, like, competent football on a Monday night. You got Lions at Ravens as they finish out week three around the NFL, and I got five best bets for you. Here they are very quickly. First, I'm taking the points with the Detroit Lions. Plus six at minus 135 odds. You like that one?
I like it.
I like that start then because, man, last week was rough. Lions at Ravens. I'm on the under in this game, under 54. I know we were running a beat the books guy a bit ago that was saying hammer that over. Don't listen to that fool.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Go ahead.
Under 54. And then three player props real quick. First for the Ravens, receiver Rashad Bateman, under 35 and a half receiving yards. It has been a struggle for him this year, and I know because he's been on the bench in my fantasy league. Next, I got two Lions, St. Brown. I got him to score a touchdown at any point in this ballgame tonight. Amon St. Brown to score a touchdown at plus 105 odds. And then lastly, the tight end for Detroit, Sam Laporta, over 4.5 receptions tonight. I think he could eclipse that even possibly by halftime, if not the end of the third quarter. I think Goff will be going to him early and often. Those are your five best bets?
Yeah, like the St. Brown, like the Lions plus six. That under 54. And these are teams that scored 52 and 41 points last week. And listen, that Cleveland defense clearly is something. What they did to the Packers.
Yeah.
Baltimore got 41 on them jokers last week. We'll see. That one's a little shaky. Coming up behind us, the coaches show. D'Amico Ryans, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
And I know it's going to be a lovely day.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.